Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Job. The book of Job, please. Job, 41st chapter. That would help, wouldn't it? If it was 3 John, it wouldn't matter. But since it's not, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to read one verse, verse number 11. Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I'm going to turn the microphone on, and then I'm going to pray, if I can get this right. Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for your goodness and kindness and for the word of God. I thank you for who you are. You're the great, the wonderful, true, and only God. And this evening, certainly this preacher needs your help. And I ask you, please, for it. Empower me to do that which you've given me to do. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I want to first of all thank the church for the wonderful thing they did for my wife and I for our anniversary. I appreciate it very much. And you're very kind, and all the kind cards that we received, I just want to say thank you. It was certainly a joy to us. We've had a wonderful, wonderful 50th anniversary. Our children took us out on a Friday night and fed us and had a wonderful time together and just enjoyed it tremendously. And they even provided us with a trip this summer and expenses paid. And I certainly thank them for it. Again, it was so kind and gracious, and we appreciate it. And they're all glad we only do this every 50 years. but anyway, we enjoyed it and appreciated it very much, and I wanted the church to know that. I want to also say, Sunday night, our pastor started his message on the financial messages and debt reduction and all of this. It was a tremendous message. It was an overview. And then these next 3 weeks, I understand it's going to be to get it down to particulars. But you need to be there. You need to hear them. And you need to not only hear them, but apply them. Amen. You need to put them into your life. It'll help you so much. Even the messages that we are preaching, we preached last week on treasures. What are they? And I wanted to explain something. There is a lot of treasures that I believe we can lay up into heaven. I believe soul winning and in service to the Lord are certainly among those. I dealt with financial treasures last week. That's what I intended to do, because that's what we're dealing with. And he dealt with the rich young ruler, and Jesus instructed him to sell what he had and give to the poor, and ye shall have treasure in heaven. So we dealt from that aspect of it. And I want you to notice also, because I dwelt quite a bit last week on the fact that you need to listen to the Lord as he directs your giving. If you will notice that story of the rich young ruler, who it was that instructed him to sell what he had. It was the great God, God the Son, that gave the instruction for him to sell what he had and give to the poor. And that's what I want you and I to do, is follow the instructions of the Lord with our giving. Now, I'm not talking about tithing and offering and all that, because that's dealt with in the Scripture. He tells us what to do. We really don't have a choice on that and shouldn't have a choice on that. But there is times God deals with us and says, give here, do this, do that, and we ought to listen to him. And so I wanted to explain that to you. There's a lot of things that I believe we can send treasures up to heaven. But I wanted to deal with the financial aspect of it. This evening I'm going to deal with treasures. Whose are they? Our pastor started off his message Sunday night with actually this truth. He talked about they belong to God. And tonight, that's basically what I want to preach. We know in this is we're going to be overlapping somewhat. That's just part of it. That's the way it is, and that's okay. But I want to nail it down. Whose are these treasures? Who does it all belong to? This is important that you get a hold of this. You may say to me, well, Brother Ross, I understand that. I know that. I've known for a long time that everything belongs to God. Well, the Bible does tell us that. But listen to me. There's a difference in knowing it and applying it. It's so easy for us to know something and say, well, I know that's in the scriptures, but do we apply it to our daily life? And many times, although we know something, we don't let it become a part of our life. Now, whose treasures, whose all of this belongs to? Who does it belong to? It belongs to God. God says in his word in verse number 11, who hath prevented me? And what that means is, who has helped me? Who has brought aid to me? Who aided me that I should repay him? And all of us would have to say, nobody. I did not help God in all of this. You understand? He is the one that owns everything, that has everything. Look what he says. He says, whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Now, tonight, basically, that's the one truth that I want to just simply give to you, and I hope you get it sealed in your heart, that everything belongs to the Lord. No matter what you have, everything belongs to God. Now, you get a hold of that and really understand that and apply it, it'll change your life. Okay? So you know, many years ago, I don't know when, but it's been many, many years ago, I was like, I think some people, I believed the truth that everything belonged to God, but I don't think I really had it sealed in my heart. And many years ago, it became sealed in my heart and my wife's heart also, that no matter what we have, it matters not. It belongs to Him. And when that happens, when you understand that truth, it'll just revolutionize your life and your giving and what you do and how you spend and all kinds of things. It'll change because it's His. He's just gave it to us to manage, that we will be stewards of these things. And that's very, very important that we understand that. I understood at that time that we have a home. It's God's home. It belongs to Him. Now I know He's gave it for me to use and Donna to use, but it's not mine. I have a garage out there and some tools in it and things that I do woodworking with, but it really is not mine. Now you grab a hold of that. It is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. We have a freezer, and most of the time, by God's blessing, we have it pretty well filled with meat most of the time. And the reason is because I raise some calves so that we can butcher. And so we keep meat in the freezer. But I want to remind myself constantly that does not belong to me. And it's important that all of us get a hold of that concept. No matter what God has allowed you to have, it does not belong to us. Okay, and that's basically the message tonight. I could quit preaching if I knew you had it. But I want to share some things with you. I want to share an illustration with you. Years ago when I was studying for these messages, and I think I preached these back in, I think it was 2002, as I remember. It might have been one, but I think it was 2002. I was studying for these messages, and God put me to test. I was studying and out of the book of John, and about John the Baptist, and he was teaching the people, and they asked him a question. He said, "What should we do? What do you want us to do?" And he said, "Well, if you have two coats," he said, "if you have two coats, give one of them to someone." He didn't say give both of them. He said give one of them to someone who has none. And then he mentioned, he said, "If you have meat, do likewise." Just about that time, the phone rang. And some of you know Kim Smith, Kim and Jeff Smith. But anyway, at that time, they was going through some very difficult times and hard times, and Jeff had lost his job. I think he had lost his job at that time, or he might have been ill and sick and couldn't work. It was one or the other. But anyway, and she was telling me their troubles and their heartaches and what was going on and a lot of other things. And she said this to me, and she said, "You know, we have not had any meat for 2 or 3 weeks." Now, I was just studying the Bible. And God just spoke to me and said, "You do." And so we gathered, Donna and I, she helped me, and we gathered up some meat and got some things out of the storehouse out here made a nice, you know, for them and took it over there and gave it to them. And I'm not telling you that for any benefit. It's God's. It isn't this preacher. It isn't because I'm such a good guy. It's because God instructs it. God says to do it. But that very day that I took that over there, I had the privilege of leading their son to Christ. Amen. Sitting there in that home, and that boy, I think he was around 7 or 8 or maybe 9, I cannot remember for sure, but he was sitting there, and when I began to talk to him, I could tell he had been under conviction. He said, "I've been wanting to know these things." He come to Christ. Now, I'm simply saying to you, if I had said, "That's my meat. That's mine. I do, you know, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to use it for our benefit." I want to tell you, first of all, God would not have been pleased because it is not mine. And we've got to get the truth and the understanding of that in our hearts, that no matter what it is, I don't care. Some of the things, I sometimes look at it and say, "God, I don't know why you would want it, but it's His anyway." You understand what I'm saying? Anything that we have is His. Now, if you can come to that truth, now not just up here, but down here, heart truth, and really mean it in your heart, everything belongs to Him. And whatever He wants me to do with it, I must do with it. Okay? Does He care if I have some things? No, He don't care. My goodness, He gives us all things to enjoy. It's okay. But He wants it made available to Him that any moment He would ask for something, it's His. The greatest example of that, I think, we found in the Bible is Abraham and his son Isaac. I sometimes ponder that and think about that and how He said, "You take him up on the mountain and you sacrifice him there." I want to tell you something. You put that down. Would I want to take Bobby or Jerry or David up on a mountain and get a knife ready to slay them? But Abraham did, because God had told him to do it. Again, I'm just simply saying to you, understand something. No matter what it is you have, it really belongs to God. The Bible says in Psalms 24, some of these we won't turn to for sake of time, but Psalms 24, verse 1 says this: "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." God says it's all His. And the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. In other words, Donna and I had 4 children that we was able to raise. And they're not really ours. He lent them to us. And told us to raise them for His glory. I'm simply trying to nail this thing down for you, folks. Listen, please. You don't really own anything. It belongs to the Lord. It's His. Get that truth. Now, you're going to say and differ with me, maybe, and you think, "Well, this here is mine." But listen to what the Bible says. He said it's His. And the fullness thereof. Now, do you believe God? Do you believe what He's saying? Over in Haggai, again, I'm not going to turn, but listen to me what he says in chapter 2, verse 8. "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, it's mine. He gives us through jobs and through working, and I'm going to stop a moment and say thank you. Thank you for a group of people who are workers. I'm serious about that. I look around and I see people who get up. They'll get up tomorrow morning. Some of them will get up very early, some of whatever their shift is, but they'll go to work. And they work. And they make a paycheck. And I think they understand, and I hope you understand, even though you do that and God gives it to you, it really isn't yours to do with whatever you want to do with it. You must get His permission. You must listen to Him and manage it according to His will. Amen? And boy, when you understand that, you get a paycheck, you take it home. Folks, it's not ours. No, it isn't. It is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And again, I'm very proud and very thankful that we have good hard workers in this church, and grateful that you work a job and not just want to live off of somebody else. There may be times when, and like Kevin is now, he's hunting a job, but he's hunting it. He's looking for one. He wants a job. Amen. Why? Because to make a paycheck so he can support his family. But even that, we must remember, does not really belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, 18th verse says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth the power to get wealth. Folks, you and I can't make anything unless He allows it. He gives us power to do so. You and I could not get up and go to work unless He give you the strength to do so. See, it's God. It's God that directs all of these things. We won't take another breath unless He says so. Amen? So it all belongs to Him. And then here's what He says in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 20th verse. For ye are bought with a price. You and I are purchased. When we gave our heart and life to the Lord, He purchased us. Jesus died on the cross, and He purchased us. We belong to Him. We are not our own. Even we ourselves do not belong to us. We belong to the Lord. Amen? Do you understand? See, everything belongs to God, you see. Now, God owns everything, but He allows us the privilege of managing and becoming a steward. There'll be a message, Lord willing, there'll be a message on that in my treasure series. How do we manage them? How do we do it? We're the stewards. We're the manager of it, but it is not ours. Amen? Randy Alcorn said this. Is a statement I wanted to read to you. A steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets, then carry out his will. I'm like you, Pastor Jerry. I thought, oh, that's good. That is wonderful. That's a great statement. Back when we was... In fact, I think it was before salvation, before Christ came into our life. We was in Brazil, living in Brazil, Indiana, and we was renting a house just outside of Brazil. It's before we bought our place, and that's where we was at when we got saved. But we had to go to the bank up there, or an individual, and I can't remember, I think his name was Smith, but anyway, he was a businessman in the bank there, and he overseen the house, the rental of that house for these people who lived out of town. And if anything broke down, he had the right from the owner to get it fixed. But we would pay him the rent. He would take care. He would oversee everything. And that's kind of what God is saying to us. You see, He didn't have a right to do with those assets as He wanted. Mr. Smith only had certain directions on what he could spend that money on. Of course, he received a fee for it, for doing that. Just like you and I receive a fee of the things that God gives us. He gives a certain amount of that for us to be able to provide for our living and eat and all of those things. He gives us a fee for it, but we're to manage His money, not ours. Amen? Manage His money. Years ago when John Wesley was living, told the story that there was one day he was getting almost ready for a service. He was getting ready for a preaching service, and a man rode up on a horse and said, "Mr. Wesley," he said, "I've got some bad news for you." He said, "Your house just burnt down." And Mr. Wesley pondered for a moment, and he said, "Well," he said, "I'm sorry about that, but you have one thing wrong." He said, "Wasn't my house that burnt, it was God's. It's God's house who burnt." I remember another man said that he was in his car. He just bought this car and going down the road, and he said he was slowing down for a stoplight, and there was a car coming in from behind him, and he said, "I could see he wasn't going to get stopped." Said he crashed right into the back of my car, and he said, "I stopped after it was all over, and I looked and said, 'Well, God, your car got wrecked.'" It's a good way to think of it. You understand? Because it really doesn't belong to us. Okay? Are you getting a hold of this? See, it belongs to the Lord. You see, I believe something. As I've lived our life, we've been married for 50 years, and since we've become a Christian in 1966, became Christians, your whole life changes, and it's been such a precious, sweet life. You say everything go right? Of course not. Problems, troubles, yeah, had to face a lot of things. But what we've found out is this. We found out that giving is a joy. To be able to give brings joy to your heart. It isn't a drudgery. It's not something that we do because we feel like God said you better do it and I got to do it. I don't even ever feel that way. I find out that giving is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. That same boy that I led to the Lord in the Smiths, his name is Cody, she called me another week down the road, and she said, "Pastor," she said, "you know, we're still without a job, and he's looking, and we just don't have anything." She said, "Cody does not have any lunches at school." Said he can't get lunch. God said again, "You got money. You got money." And so I went to the school where he was going to school and arranged for the next month to pay his lunch. It wasn't a big deal. I'm not telling you that because it's a big deal. It's what God does. I'm trying to give you some illustrations to show you that if you listen, God will speak. God will say, "I want this done. I want that done." It's His anyway. Amen? There's been times in my life, and I'm just going to be honest with you, there have been times in my life I think that I did not listen to the Holy Spirit when God spoke. I think I was busy and just did not listen. But I want to tell you something, that's not a good thing. You want to listen. You want to hear. See, I can give you good illustrations, but I can also give you the bad illustrations. And I learned from those. I tried to make up for those, but it's never the same. You're supposed to do as God says you're to do. You're supposed to do it. So I find joy in giving. I think that any time that there is a thought in your mind or my mind that those things belong to me, you better count that as a red flag. You better figure a red flag is waving, and you better listen very closely, because folks, we sometimes decide that we own, it's ours. We can do with it what we want to do, but that ought to put up a red flag real quick, because it is not ours. According to the Scripture, it is not ours. I want you to go over to the book of Romans, the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm just going to read about three verses. Verse number 10, chapter 14. It says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." You remember, our pastor mentions once in a while about that, and I preached a sermon on living with your eye on the judgment. That simply means you live each day realizing that someday you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And so will I. No, that day is coming. You understand that? That for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Did anybody find their name in there to exempt them? All of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us will stand. I don't think we're going to stand in a group. I think we're going to stand individually before the Lord. Every single one of us. And here's what he says. "As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to me. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Now, do you and I understand the truth of that? Do you believe that there will become a day you'll have to stand before God and give an account to God? The Bible says so. Do you believe that included in that account is included also financial responsibility? Do you believe we'll have to give an account for when he spoke to our hearts to give and whether we gave or not? Oh, I do. I believe we're going to all give an account. I think that's enough to really move our hearts toward living daily the way that God wants us to live and minding what he says from day to day. And when it concerns finances, doing with those finances as God says to do with them. Because we will give an account. I think there's going to be a lot of an account given for frivolous purchasing, spending money frivolously, unneeded things that God never gave the okay to purchase. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? God, and first of all, wasn't even asked. We didn't even get God involved with the question of should we purchase this or not. You understand what I'm saying? It's quiet. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you believe that we're going to have to give an account? Do you think that includes our finances? How are you doing in finances? How's everything going? You think maybe it might be a possibility we're not spending things correctly? Think there's that possibility? We're not minding the Lord. We're not giving when he says to give. Do you hear what this preacher says? I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. We went through all of this ourselves. We was terribly in debt. I'm not going to take time to early in our married life. We got terribly in debt. And God taught us the truth of his word. And we spent it, and you'll be hearing about not just that, but you'll be hearing about how to do this on debt reduction. And that's what we did over a period of 5 years. It took us to get out of debt. I'm not bragging on that. I'm not saying it was good. I should have never got there, but I did. And God showed us how to do it. And I want to tell you something. Living this way is wonderful. It's just wonderful. So I'm saying to you, you see, I want to give you a thought. Did you read what? I read this in a book. I don't remember who it was. Years and years ago, this man said, "Every man sets his own salary," and I laughed. I said, "Sure we do. I'll just go to my boss and just tell him what I'm going to have." And then he went on to say, "No, your employer sets basically what you first get, but you set the salary of what you're going to keep." You decide how much of that you're going to keep. Whew. Whew. What a responsibility. Amen? And isn't it true? Whatever God gives us, don't we set the salary that we're going to keep ourselves and use on ourselves after our giving? And well, sure we do. Absolutely. So I believe there's joy that comes in giving. I find joy as I look around this church and have for years and still do. I find joy that when the offering plate is passed and I get the privilege of putting offering in there, in that offering plate, realizing that some of that money is going to go for the bus ministry. I'm going to tell you what, you can say anything you want, but I want to tell you I'm in the bus ministry. Yes, sir, I'm in the bus ministry. Part of my tithes and offering goes into the bus ministry. And every child that comes into this church and gets saved and learns about the Lord Jesus, I want to tell you something, I'm part of it. There's just joy in that. Amen. I want to tell you something, Joseph Storehouse. I'm in the Joseph Storehouse ministry too. Amen. How about these buildings that's getting ready to be built? I want to tell you something. I'm going to be a part of it. I may not be as part as somebody else may be more of a part of it. I want to tell you right now, I'm going to be part of it. And that brings joy to my heart. When these young people get on the bus on Wednesday nights and take off and go to these towns and preach the gospel to people and lead people to Christ, whoever it was that led someone to Christ today over there, I want to tell you something. I helped put the gas in that bus. Might have only been a little bit, but I will tell you, I put some in there. You know why? Because I find joy in that. I find joy coming in when it's 100 degrees outside and we have an air conditioning. I help air condition it. You understand what I'm saying? I want to tell you, there ought to be joy in the ministry when every offering every Sunday that comes in. As tithes and offerings comes in, 17% of that goes into missions. And then I have other opportunities to give to missions. I'm part of them over there across the field or wherever they may be in America or wherever they are. I'm part of it. Well, I want to tell you something. I find joy in that. I find joy in this school ministry down here. Goes on week after week after week. Listen, that's a tough ministry. Most of you don't understand that, but it's a tough ministry. But it's a wonderful ministry. Amen. We've seen so many wonderful things. These girls got up and sang here. You see, they're preparing. They're getting ready for life and serving God and all that. And I see them and see them growing in the Lord. That's joy. I want to tell you something. I'm a part of it. Joy. You see, giving. That's what we do. You see, God tells us over in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, He wants us to be a cheerful giver. That means a hilarious giver. First time I ever heard that preached like this, I remember we was at a meeting, and I can't remember his name, that preacher. You remember his name? Maybe not. Anyway, he was an older fella, and he had white hair, and he preached on this. And he said, I want to tell you what being a cheerful giver is. And he got down on his back and started kicking his legs up in the air and laughing all the time that he was doing it. I mean, that's what he done. He just laughed and laughed. And he said, that's what you do. He says, when you give, you're hilarious. I was going to demonstrate it, but I don't think I will. It would be hilarious, all right. But I've never, ever forgot that. And I said, I want to be a hilarious giver. I may not do it like that, but I want to be a hilarious giver. I want to be a joyful giver. When the offering plate goes by, I enjoy putting my money in. I'm serious. I just enjoy it. I just think it's a wonderful thing. Amen? I want you to turn over to Philippians, the 4th chapter. I'm not trying to hurry, but we are limited on time because of the master's clubs, and it should be that away. We've got to correct, we've got to be there because they get out and we got to do right. But Philippians, the 4th chapter, I want you to listen real quickly. 10th verse, But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And he goes on to tell the wonderful truth there. He said, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In other words, if it means that I'm abased, in other words, I don't have much, he said, I can do that through Christ. If God gives me extra and gives me a plentiful and abound, he said, I can do that also. Why? Through Christ. Okay? And then he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Those are verses of scripture that we pull out of this chapter. We said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I believe it because the word of God says it. But I want to tell you something. He's talking to a people who was sacrificially giving. It's important that you understand that. You think God is talking to some lazy bum that won't work. He's not. If you will read this, you'll find out that they had given to him. They had abundantly given to him and taken care of him in his great need. And then God says, but I'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Read this in the context that it's written in. That's why I'm saying when you live your life, learn to give because you're securing your future. I've told Donna that for years. We've tithed, we've given. I'm not saying we've given everything that we should. I'm just simply saying we've tithed, we've given, and I'll tell Donna all the time, I'm securing our future. Because he's promised. You be a giver, you do right, I'll guarantee you God says I'll take care of your need. He said need. He said need, you understand? I can testify. I can stand here and testify. God has so taken care of Don and I, and he's taken care of our needs. And some people will look and say, I don't understand why Brother Ross has this or has that and gets this or gets that. That's because God is keeping his word. Amen. See, many people want to be a cheapskate, don't want to give anything, then down the road they expect God to just pour it on them. It don't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. See, you and I have to learn to give for the future. I could stand up here and tell you story after story of how God has provided for us. I mean, miraculously provided for us and taken care of us and done things that's just miraculous. And maybe sometimes I will tell you in these treasure series, I don't know. But I'm just saying to you, God honors his word. And that's what I'm trying to do for you. I'm trying to say to you, listen to the Lord when he speaks and be willing to give as he directs. Amen. Listen to him. Amen. There was a family that years ago came into my office and said, and let me say, I know this. I'm not going to name the family. I know they just went through some very difficult financial problems. Very difficult. They came into my office and they said, you know, Pastor, we sold some things and we got a certain amount of money. They told me how much it was and said, we just don't understand maybe all of it because we're having financial trouble. We believe God wants us to give a special gift to all of our Bible college students. And I said, if God told you, then that's what you ought to do. And I give them the addresses. That's all I did. And they took care of the rest. They gave a special gift. They was going through financial troubles. If you read back, and I didn't turn there, but 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, I believe it's the 9th or 8th chapter, you find that those people there gave out of their poverty. See, we've got this thought that everybody gives because they've got a lot of money. Well, I want to tell you something. You'll find out most of the time the biggest giving comes from people who do not have a lot of money. They just give because God has instructed them to give. These people gave out of their great poverty and affliction, the Bible talks about. Amen. The widow who gave her two mites. The Lord Jesus himself said she gave all of her living. He said all these other ones gave out of their abundance. You think it's the amount. It's not always just the amount. It's the sacrifice that comes from just giving, whatever it is. We should learn from that. Amen. But they refuse, these people refuse to let poverty stop them from giving. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, if you'll read that, we won't take time to turn there, but if you'll read that, you'll find out they literally pleaded that they be allowed to be a part of that offering. They pleaded, let us be a part of this. And it was out of and it was called, it was talked about their poverty and their affliction. And they wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to be a part of the offering. That's a misnomer. Listen to me. I think I've said it before, but it's a misnomer. When people want to talk about how that some people don't give because they can't give. Shame on all of us. I've had people stand up here and pray. It was not on purpose. It was not on purpose. They was not trying to do wrong, but they'll say, bless those who can't give. That should never be prayed. That should never be prayed. What do you mean somebody that can't give? Anybody can give. It may be a penny, but everybody can give. In fact, everybody is expected to give. It's instructed in the Bible for us to give. Our tithes and our offering. A lot of people say, well, these poor widow lady. I'm sorry for the poor widow lady. I'm not saying they have everything right, but they ought to give. Because it's scriptural. They ought to give. I don't care how much they make. They ought to give their tithes and offering. Amen. I don't know about you, and this is not a scriptural where I can say this is what happened, but I want to tell you what I kind of always felt. When that widow lady gave her two mites, I think Zacchaeus was sitting on her front porch when she got home. Because Zacchaeus said, when he got saved, he said, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. I kind of always felt like maybe it was him that's sitting on her front porch to give her something when she got home with nothing. Because I want to guarantee you one thing, she did get taken care of. I don't know all the hows and whys or when. I know the whys, but the whens and all of that, but she got taken care of. Amen. So I'm saying we've got to learn to trust the Lord. I want to go to one more portion of Scripture. We could go to many, but I want you to go over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, 29th chapter. Verse number 10. Just listen as I read and hear what he's saying. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now listen to this. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Got to remember something. David had given a tremendous amount to the building of the temple. Gold, silver, he was very rich, and he gave it. But I want you to listen to what he says. For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. David says, God, it all belonged to you anyway, and all we're doing is taking that which belongs to you and giving it back to you. Amen. And then he says, "For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee, and house for thine holy name, cometh of thy hand, and is all thine own." And he said, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee." And you read on. I'm not going to do so for sake of time, but you ought to read on. He's just simply telling God, "You know what? You're the one that gave it to me. You're the one whom it belongs to. And all I'm doing is taking that which you gave me and just giving it back to you." And if you'll learn the principle that I've just taught tonight, and there could be much more said, but if you'll learn the principle that everything that you have belongs to the Lord. I mean, not just learn it up here, but learn it down here. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll change the way you spend. It'll change the purchases that you make. When you realize that you and I should get permission of the Lord to purchase it. Most of the purchases that we make, the Lord has never okayed them. He's never even been asked. And he should be. Amen? It'll change the way you look at things you possess. When you look around and see all the things that you and I possess and realize they're his. Not yours, not mine. They're his. So don't you think maybe since it's his that we ought to be careful how we spend it? What we do with it? Don't you think that's true? Don't you think we ought to get his okay on things? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for helping us tonight in this wonderful principle from your word. Amen.